This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
YouTube is the third most visited website in Malaysia. That means we consume a lot of video content. But at the same time, we also see a lot of emerging content creators on this platform as well. And SushiVid is a marketplace that connects both brands and creators to create a win-win situation. Yuwen Fong, she's the CEO of SushiVid. She's here with me today to talk about why they are... There's this thing on your website. It's called Macam Agency Tapi Bukan. So we'll find out more. But first... What exactly is SushiVid, and is there any reason to the name?
Hi. SushiVid was just, a name that I came up out of thin air. Really, I just was so tired of searching for domain names, and then at one point, I was just like, you know what? If it makes it, then, you know, we'll think about something serious, but let's just get over and done with the name.
Right.
That's how we came up with it.
It was just a no-brainer kind of thing, and like decided to let's just go with this because the site URL was available and
correct. All right. And I didn't say it before, but like every kind of vid names out there is a porn site. I tried so hard to do Vid Fury and it was like, okay, porn site. I tried every other version of Vid, but it's like, okay, cannot. It won't work.
So then you came up with SushiVid. But what exactly is SushiVid? What type of platform is this?
So if I have to equate it to something, it's like Job Street. So it's a place where influencers can go in and browse for jobs that are available for them. And brands can come in freely to propose a campaign.
Mm. And how did you start SushiVid? Like, what was the idea when you is it a frustration that you had, or was it something that you were already in the industry and you figured that, like, this is missing?
No, so I was in startups for some time, and then one of the multi-channel networks came to me and said, hey, when I would like you to head Jakarta for us. So that's when I started exploring YouTube and Instagrammers and stuff. And I realized that there really is a market around it. But what the multi-channel network wanted me to do was not what I wanted to do. Mm. Simply because I don't believe in contracting anyone. So previously, before I started working in the startup space, I was already a actress. And I was contracted to a talent agency. And I didn't like being contracted. So... Mm. Because of that, I started SushiVid because I felt like, okay, I needed a space where people can freely come and go and, you know, there's trust involved. There really isn't a need to tie me down for anything.
Mm. Yeah. And obviously, you're not the only one who are playing in this field. Mm. There are a few as well. So what makes you, like, confident enough to, like, you know, I'm going to go up against, you know, some of these people and, like, I'm going to do it right because you've figured out something, some challenges that is not being addressed at the moment, or...?
To be honest, I did a lot of search online and I didn't see any really big enough player within the Southeast Asian region. So I just jumped in. And then after that, I started to realize, okay, there's some players out there. I really didn't know. But I already plunged, so okay.
How did you, so what made you make that plunge? Like, so you went online, you did your research, you figured, like, okay, you know, it's still a fairly new market in that sense. So, but the demand was there. Like, there were a lot of creators in sense. Like, there were a lot of YouTubers in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Or is that something that you felt like, yep, there is a big enough pie for me to actually get in here?
Well, I think to begin with, I already have been in the startup space for some time. And I've looked around the multi-channel networks and the influencer networks. And a lot of them are not tech-enabled. And what I realized is that a lot of the influencers, they tend to screenshot their analytics and send them to the brands, which is really, you know, so 1995. So I was like looking at what I could do with tech and I'm like, let's do this.
Mm. And what's been the biggest challenge? How long have you been operating for now?
We've already hit our 1 year mark, so that's been, you know, yeah, we've passed the danger zone.
Right. And in 1 year, what's been the biggest challenge or the biggest learning curve or the biggest shock in the sense that, you know, since you've done a lot of research and you were saying that, you know, when you realized it, when you're in it, that there's actually a few other players as well. What's been the biggest shock or challenge so far?
I think... The biggest challenge for me was to find the right team members. I think I really focus on my team because I think we are, you know, together collectively what's going to make this work.
Mm.
So my focus has always been my team and how I can make their life better. So we were sitting in the server room for a year. Wow. It was like we managed to cram into my angel investor's, one of his offices in the server. And so when we moved out, we were quite happy. Mm. So I think that was one of the biggest leap for all of us because our team was just growing way bigger than the space could take.
Mm. How many did you start it off with and how big is the team now?
I started alone. And I remember when I was doing it alone, I just sit at a cafe in Klang and just, you know, work all day.
And then you realize you
can't.
And you realize you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, and then I started to grow the team. First 3 months, there was like nobody. So right. In the fifth month, I hired, and then slowly, just suddenly, now
how
today
was that
we're
first,
nine.
How was the first hiring process like? You know, was it nervous? Was it nerve wracking for you because it's the first hire itself?
No, my first hire was really, really good. I was very, very lucky. She was she came online. She found my one-page landing page that I created, like a drag-and-drop landing page. She found it, and then she came to the contact us space. She wrote to me there. She sent me an email. She found me on Facebook. She wanted in on this. So
right.
She's today my co-founder.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, and now that you've grown the team to how many?
Nine
people in the team. And what's the focus of this of the team at the moment? Are they focusing more on sales and to trying to speak to content creators, or are they trying to work on your back end programming side? Mm-hmm. What's the main focus for SushiVid at the moment?
Our focus has always been the influencers, because I think the brands are well taken care of. You know, there's so many different kinds of products for brands. There are so many different kinds of models and different kinds of agencies for them. Where SushiVid comes in, we focus on the influencers. Mm. So we focus on grooming the long-tailed influencers, the ones that, you know, are hungry and wants to become an influencer or wants to be better at, you know, becoming an influencer. We groom them.
Mm. And you also have this thing on the bottom of your website under the creator segment. You've put a hashtag, Macam Agency Tapi Bukan.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Okay, I think why we came up with that was a lot of the agencies that tried to approach SushiVid, they asked us to do proposals for them. Like, oh, send me a proposal, send me a media kit, send me a rate card. But we don't have one. You know, we're a platform and we don't have the rates until the influencers want to do something. So for us, how it works is a brand puts up a brief and then the influencers propose.
Hmm.
You know, they propose their idea, they propose the price they want to do it, they propose the time they want to upload it.
Hmm.
You know, they have complete freedom to do what they want. So we don't have any proposal for the brands because we don't come up with anything for them beforehand.
I'm speaking to Yuan Fong, the CEO of SushiVid, and we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise, and my name is Jeff Sandu, and I'm with Yuan Fong, the CEO of SushiVid. And early on, we talked about what exactly is SushiVid. And it's a platform that helps YouTubers or content creators to reach out to the right brand. So, Yuan, how do you help them? And, you know, what's the working relationship like? How do you help them to monetize their content?
I think how the biggest way that we are helping them is that we take away the need to go and meet individual brands one by one. So when I used to be an actress, it was really frustrating because I will always be at the mercy of my agent or any directors that are calling me. So I'm always hanging on by my phone and like hopefully it rings, you know, or I will always have to go for casting with a face cake full of makeup, you know, and waiting in line and not knowing anything when I get there, like, you know, what's the role about, you know, what is this advertisement about? They don't tell you anything.
Mm.
So what we do is we take all of that away. We let the influencers come on a platform and see a brief and propose like a paragraph or two. I mean, it really shortens the process of getting a business developer to go one by one to different companies to ask for jobs.
Mm. And to the content creators, what do they necessarily want from the stuff that they create? Is it, you know, to generate revenue? Is it to generate followers? Is it to be an influencer? Or is it to connect with the biggest brand in the world? Like, or do they vary across different individuals as well?
It varies. Mm. It varies. There are those who are very, they really care about their subscribers. So those ones, they will actually come and tell me, like, when I only want to do one sponsored content a month, I'm not going to do more than that.
Mm.
So they really care about their subscribers and how they feel about, you know, oh, is this a sponsored content again? You know, so they're very conscious about that. And then, but there are those who would take anything.
Do you dictate in terms of how the content will look like or will feel like or will sound like in terms of the message that is...
No.
None at all.
We don't control anything. So basically, it's a platform that lets the brands come in and talk to the influencers freely.
Mm.
So the brands would naturally have already looked at their analytics to see where the audience demographic is and what gender are we looking at, what kind of content. And you can look at their past content to decide whether this influencer is for you.
Right.
You know, so they make all the decisions. Both the brand and the influencer makes all the decisions.
Mm. So if I'm an influencer and I'm looking to sort of expand my subscriber base, also my reach to a certain brand, for example, how's the process like with SushiVid? So I will go onto your website, and what happens then?
You will see what are the ongoing campaigns, and then you look at the timing. So let's say a brand, they put up a brief. You can have a look at it and see, like, if the price is right for you. Like, if it's to begin with too cheap, you're like, okay, I don't want to do it.
Mm.
You know, if you feel that the brand's budget's not within your comfort zone, don't do it.
Mm.
Also, for the influencers, you know, a lot of influencers have a calendar already. So they have, for example, some of the influencers are, you know, booked up till July, for example. So these influencers can come in and look and see, like, okay, this video has to be up by a certain date. It's like, okay, I can't do it. So they actually decide based on information, not really just, you know, pick up a call and then go and meet for nothing.
Mm. Do we have a lot of influencers here in Malaysia? I know we have a lot of brands here in Malaysia. Do we have enough influencers to cater so that we have like a different mix instead of seeing one person on every other brand?
There is a severe lack of mother YouTubers. There is a severe lack of...
What's a mother YouTuber?
So I've had, milk powder brands. I've had kids' clothing brands that are looking for mother YouTubers or mother Instagrammers. And I don't have enough of that.
So we need more of those then.
Yeah, we need more mothers.
But it's hard though, because obviously the generation-wise, but there are mothers.
It's just, you know, when you're managing your terrible two, you don't have the time to constantly make videos to be, you know, to be a consistent content provider.
Mm. Let's talk about the business model itself. How does SushiVid then generate the revenue? Do you take a percentage cut in terms of a successful deal, or how does it go?
Yeah, usually for the brands, it's free until they choose a influencer. So they can use the platform all the way until they decide on a particular influencer. That's when they start to pay. And they pay as per what the influencer charges.
Mm.
So just say the influencer say, okay, for you, I'll do 100 ringgit, right? So the brand will pay 100 ringgit on our platform via PayPal or if they choose bank transfer. And for the influencer, they will get 75 and SushiVid gets 25.
Right. Okay. What sort of projects at the moment are ongoing? And like, is on an average time frame, now that you've been operating for a year, how many projects do you actually see in terms of like in a month basis? Is that a right way of looking at it?
We've been operating for about a month. For a year, right? But we didn't start selling SushiVid until April. So we've had every month we're growing. So it's really hard for me to say an average. But we started with one deal in April and then we doubled and doubled and doubled and doubled all the way. And
wow.
We ended the year with about 50 campaigns.
Mm, wow. And who's been like, what are some of the biggest influencer that you have at the moment that maybe we may actually know the name? Like, oh, I know that person. Like, is there any famous people that we're working with?
My biggest ones are actually Thai and Indonesian.
Ah, why is that?
I think because of the language barrier in those countries. For example, Indonesians, they don't watch enough English content. Whereas Malaysians and Singaporeans, we have a variety. We can watch English channels and we can appreciate and all that. Whereas the Indonesians, they're very they focus on their own language.
Mm.
So does the Thais. So our Thai and Indonesian influencers are huge.
So you also operate in these two markets then?
Yes, I operate in five different markets.
Oh.
So Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, Singapore and Philippines.
Which has been the most growth so far?
Indonesia. Indonesia's huge. I'm still trying to go there once a month to try to figure out what it's like, you know, just talk to some of the CMOs and figure out what is their marketing budget to begin with. Like, for us in Malaysia, we do one billboard. It's like, okay, let's put it at lot 10. But in Indonesia, there is Surabaya, there's Bandung, there's Jakarta, there's Bali. There's so many towns and so many cities that if they were to do one billboard, it's, you know, they have to run a campaign across the whole country.
Mm. And how is it like operating in so many different countries? There's only 9 people.
Everybody's job is very well segregated. So my influencer head manages bringing in the influencers. My brand head focuses on getting the brands to put up a brief. And for myself, I am mainly doing fundraising. So I'm doing the fundraising, I'm hiring, and to a large extent, I'm also trying to get some of the sales in.
I'm speaking to Yuen Fong, the CEO of SushiVid, and we'll be right back after the Bursa update, and we'll talk about how you've been approaching investors and also SushiVid's growth. This is BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And you're back with me, Jeff Sando, an enterprise with Yuen Fong, the CEO of SushiVid. It's a platform that helps connect content creators and brands to create a win-win situation. So Yuen, let's talk about funding since you're talking to investors along the way. What's been your way of approaching them and how do you convince them that, yep, SushiVid is the one for me to invest in?
I think I always go to the brands by traction. No, sorry. I think I always go to my investors with traction. So I show them the results that I have, you know, our team has, you know, they've been able to deliver. So a lot of the, there are a lot of other influencer marketplaces out there, but so far we are the largest in terms of regional player because we have about 500 influencers today.
Wow.
Yeah, Instagram and YouTube. And every single month I've been able to hit my KPI and I've been able to show consistent traction and results.
Mm.
So I think that's how I would go to the investors because an idea is just an idea, but you know it really depends on your execution. And I really you know draw from the past experiences that I've had to be able to execute the way I do now.
Mm. And have you raised any so far? From an investor or...
We closed a 500,000 ringgit grant with Cradle Fund. Thank you, Cradle.
Right.
Yeah, so that was that gives us a little bit more flexibility to raise. I'm actively raising, but...
And what is this the funds that you're raising, what is it for? Is it for your expansion? Is it for talent? Is it for the R&D side in terms of the platform itself?
Majority of the funds will go into expansion because how I calculated the amount I needed is basically just taking the operating expenditure for how it runs in Malaysia and replicating it for the rest of the countries.
Mm.
Yeah,
but obviously there are differences when it comes to operating in different countries and how do you sort of factor into those as well?
Mm. For SushiVid at the beginning, we're definitely not going to set up subsidiaries. We're not going to put up an office and all that. We'll just fly our people in every month or so to try to reach out to the brands, to attend events and things like that. So we're already doing it now.
Mm.
It's just that we're doing it more than... So that's how...
It's going to ramp it up then.
Yes.
In that sense, are you also planning to sort of do like a bit of growth hacking in that sense and trying to experiment how you could actually sort of hit a certain target in a very quick way?
Yeah, I think growth hacking is ingrained in the team. So we are always thinking of ways to do something. So for example, just a couple of days ago, my sales lead was like, how about we edit some of our influencers' videos and turn them into bumper ads? I was like, okay, we've never done it before, but yeah, we're in control if we do it.
Mm.
Okay, do it. So I'm really, really open to doing anything. Just if they have an idea and they want to take charge, do it.
What's your vision for SushiVid and how do you sort of you know, motivate your staff that every one of them actually has that same vision? It's only a team of 9. It might be easy now. You know, in the long-term run, it may not be 9 people. It may be 90 or more, right?
Yeah.
So how do you always have that vision and you make sure that, you know, the whole team also has follow you in that direction, especially now that you're going to spread across so many different countries as well?
Maybe I tell you our vision first. Our vision is to make becoming an influencer a plausible full-time career. So, I mean, when I told my mom I wanted to be an actress, it was like, oh my God. she, you know, I could see the disappointment in her face. Like, why, you know, you're an investment banker. Why are you doing this? You know, and then I remember when I was in there, they were, you know, they almost like, you know, if they could disown me, they would have that kind of feeling. And I know if anybody that has a child and the child tells you, like, you know, daddy, when I grow up, I want to be an actress, 100%, the father or the mother would be like, I hope it's just a face.
Or they will probably just laugh it off.
And, yeah, you know, that's not the way. You know, for every Tom Cruise that we appreciate, there are probably a million trying. Mm. If we are not going to support our content creators, then who will, you know? And we want to appreciate good content, but we don't want our children to be, you know, the actress or the content creator. Mm. You know, it's really, really hard. If you think starting a business is hard, being a creative person is harder because there's just zero support from the people. And anybody who's trying, they're like, ala, she's just calefe. You know, it's terrible. People are terrible. Mm. You know, so judgmental about things.
And now that you've been running already, Sushi Vid, and all, has that perception now changed in your aspects, in terms of your you know, family circles, social circles? Have they looked at it and go like, wow, it's actually a running business now?
Yeah. You know, it's taken some time, and they still don't know what I do. They know I do some internet thing, but they don't know what I do. But yeah,
to some extent, it might be good.
It's actually they're just happy I got out of the whole acting phase. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Now YouTube is known as, like, you know, number one, number two, number three in most visited site in Malaysia. It varies across different months and so forth, which is a good sign anyway. So, but the challenge is that it seems like our consumers are very segmented. You know, you've got your English medium, you've got your Malayan, and you've got your Chinese, and you've got the Indians, and you've got a whole bunch of different languages, and we consume a lot of foreign languages as well. Korean, for example, will be one of it. Mm. How do you sort of help brands to and influencers to have that same vision, and, you know, to find that we can address this you know, fragmented problem?
That's actually why Sushi Vid exists, right? Because if you're working with a big influencer and you blow 100,000 on one influencer, you don't really have a choice in terms of, you know, reaching to the niche markets. Where Sushi Vid comes in, with just say 10 grand, with 10,000 ringgit, you can approach 5 influencers. And you can pick one who has a, you know, Kedah accent, a guy who lives up north. You can pick one from Sabah. You can pick one Indian guy who's really funny. You can pick a Chinese girl. So you can A-B test, sort of, with this little influencers or smaller influencers to find something that really fits. And you, for example, what we've done for My Cyber Sale Malaysia, right? We've done 150 campaigns. We've reached out to very, very different people just because of the different languages our influencers speak. And also we've done content for Indonesia, for Singapore, which, you know, if you only have engaged one influencer, you won't have that kind of audience reach.
You've got customers like Lazada and Uniqlo as well. How different is it like working with this kind of brands to get onto your platform compared to, you know, you going up to influencers and saying that, you know, you should join, you know, certain thing, we can help you out in this? How does the brands look at this?
Approaching both the influencers and the brands are very different. Right, when you reach the influencers to begin with, you got to have the YOLO kind of lingo. You got to have to, you know, kind of.
You got to be one of them in that sense.
Yes, correct. And that's why, you know, we work very well with the influencers, because we go by trust. We don't go by, you know, contract to me exclusively. So that's how we approach the influencers. And for the brands, I think they like to be able to explore. You know, a lot of the brands that we work with are actually SMEs, more so than the big brands. Because the big brands, you know, Nestle's and all that, they can just pay, you know, 100,000 to the Ming thing, and, you know, they can do that. But smaller SMEs who, you know, are very calculated with their cash, they don't. So they like working with us because then they can do 5 and A-B tests. You know, they can do 1 unboxing, 1 review, 1 bahasa, 1 Chinese content. They can try everything. You know, so at a small budget, you can try.
Right.
And then you can find something that really works.
And what's a small budget when you mention small budget?
We start at $100.
Ah.
Yeah.
Wow. So if I'm an SME, for example, and I'm looking to partner up with an influencer for a campaign, how's the process like for me? How do I get in touch with Sushi Vid?
5 steps. You sign up and then you fill up a form. So the form is actually created in such a way that after you fill up the form, it's a brief. After that, the influencers will be notified and they will propose. After 7 days, you come in, you pick the right influencer, and then you get the masterpiece.
And that's it?
Yes.
Wow, simple as that.
And yeah, five steps.
Right. What's your long-term goal? Where do you see SushiVid in a few years down the road? Or at least just till the year end of 2017?
We definitely aspire to be Asia's largest, you know, regional influencer marketplace. And we also have expanded beyond YouTube. I started with YouTube, but we already have Instagram. We're going into other social media platforms as well, but not necessarily the same as the US players where they go into Snapchat and Vine. We will do something more like WeChat or Line where
you're catering to the market.
Correct.
Then. Right.
The long-term goal is definitely to, again, make becoming an influencer sort of a full-time career path that is plausible. So we're really trying to groom the ecosystem, have workshops for the influencers. We'll do some gatherings, groom them, and, you know, help them become better at what they do.
What does it take to be the number one in the region in this space that you're involved in for the platform, for SushiVid?
A lot of people think it's in the number of influencers. I don't. I think it's in the number of brands that I can get and the number of recurring deals I can get in a sustainable way. So I don't really mind having lesser influencers. If my revenue per influencer is, you know, consistently high, that's fine. What it takes, I think, is really just the brands coming in.
And I've been speaking to Yuwen Fong, the CEO of SushiVid, talking about the company, the plans, the challenges and the vision. If you missed any parts of this interview, you can download the podcast at bfm.my, or better yet, you can get the app on your smartphone. My name is Jeff Sandu and you've been listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.